And when I came out of Northern Ireland, I was going to Southampton, and I got to Southampton, and Sunday morning, I was the minister, and they had 550 people sitting in the meeting, and 10 minutes into the meeting, I was still in the hotel, and I couldn't hardly get dressed. I was so sick, and the enemy just hit me so hard. And anyway, I did preach two of the 3 or 4 days I was there. I shouldn't have. And I did some damage to my voice, so I haven't preached for about 5 or 6 weeks now. So I'm trying to get ready for this trip, and went to the doctor just to bring an upgrade date. And he's pretty sure that it's a serious strain throat. But, amen. And it's hard not to sing when you've been singing for 70 years. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to preach when the word is just bubbling inside. Yeah. Tonight, as I was sitting here in the meeting with you, and the Lord spoke this to me regarding, because I always like to hear what God's got to say about the group. And many of you are facing some of the greatest battles and struggles of your life. You're facing them right now. New battles, could be health issues, family, great grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'm here to encourage you in these areas. Amen. My wife Joy is with me. And I said there's one place you gotta go is Guernsey. And you're it. She's gonna go back to Canada and she's gonna think, wow, so this is what the Guerns are like. You are it. Hallelujah. But Don and Lorraine have been looking after us. We flew in from Southampton
Friday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Time flies.
Yes, it was Friday, Pastor.
Yeah, it's been a long 24 hours.
I will get it right. And we came to Southampton, and hallelujah. I'm seeking the Lord because I feel that it, like I said, is very vital what I share with you. And I'm going to take you to the 14th chapter of Exodus. And I'm going to be, as far as I know, I'm going to be in this chapter the whole trip here with you tomorrow as well. And those of you who are very familiar with this book, you will know that this was when Israel was facing one of its major crises. Events had unfolded in such a way that they were free. 300-400 years in bondage. Didn't know what it was like to be able to think for yourself. Get up and have breakfast when you want it. Worship God the way you wanted, anywhere you wanted. They didn't know that for 400 years. And so here they are, we're getting ready to take them out. And God's getting ready to take them out, and they're on their way. So we're going to look at some lessons and some things which I feel the Lord would want me to share with you. When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, many extraordinary miracles occurred. Mm-hmm. Miracles that they were not familiar with. Mm-hmm. Miracles that were unheard of. Very, very different kind of miracles. You know, sometimes we get used to hearing and seeing a lot of blind people healed, or deaf people being healed, or healings taking place. But God works way beyond that too. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've been praying, Brother Don, I haven't got healed of this. Keep praying. Keep believing. Never doubt God. God can do anything. And be open to how God wants to do it. So, God was going to fight for them. And they didn't know about this God. It seemed like he was silent for 400 years. And it would happen again later on. The book of Malachi between then and Matthew. That was another 400 years. And I would think if I was living at near the end of that 400 years, I'd be thinking, wow, I know the old people talk about miracles and the way God used to move. But never give up on God. Never.
Amen.
And when you're facing life's greatest battles, never give up. If you will turn with me before I start here, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. And God speaks here to us regarding the things that the Israelites went through. And so sometimes we may think, well, why do I need to hear about that? Well, God wants us to hear about this. So you can talk to him. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, of all the stuff you know, God says, I got something else to tell you. I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. When we stand before the Father, when we cross over the other side, there's going to be one or two things that we're going to hear. We could hear, the Father is not pleased with you. Not pleased. Or we're going to hear, I am well pleased. Always bear that in mind. Either God's going to be not well pleased with you, or he's going to be well pleased with you. You don't earn that. You don't earn that. That is something that has become a part of your nature from the day that you were born again and brought into the kingdom. Now, I'm not blind tonight. I know that I'm speaking to a mature crowd here tonight, mature group. Okay, some of you young ones, please, I don't mean to offend you, but someday you'll get our age. But I want to hear them say, well done.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I look for. I don't look for a mansion. I don't look for a rocking chair when I get over there. I don't need to look for a crown upon my head. The thing that would really please me is to hear him say, well done. Mm-hmm. You just think about that. Well done. Because sometimes when we're struggling and we're pressing into the kingdom and we're trying to find the will of God for our lives and we're trying to say, Lord, what is it you want to do with me? And I don't feel I need to retire. And it's pretty hard to retire. When you serve God for many years, you just can't pack up and say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to set it out. We're going to see what happens. I'm waiting for the explosion. All right. Thank you, bro. You're very good to me. Better than what you realize. So, I want to hear him say, well done. So God has said, I put this stuff, and I've written that back in Exodus, because there's many truths that you need to know in 2025.
That's right.
I'm going to read on here just for a minute. But many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many? Everybody that came out of Egypt was overthrown except for two, Joshua and Caleb. Everyone that came to the Red Sea died in the wilderness. Something wasn't well pleased. It could have been said better, maybe, only some he was well pleased with.
That's right.
We gain all of this experience in our Christian life.
Yes.
And we're thinking, well, I can't go to long distances, and I can't sing or can't preach, or the list goes on. But one thing you can always do is you can pray and you can seek God, and you can have faith and encourage, even if it's just one other person. You have that ability every time you meet to encourage somebody here in this group.
Yes, and that's right.
And I would make it a point, if I was a part of your congregation on a regular basis, I would make it a point and I would say, Father, I am open. If you want me to give somebody a word today, you want me to encourage them, you want me to hand them £1,000, whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. And I'll tell you, the church will change for you.
Yes.
Your gatherings will change.
Yes.
You'll be some encouragement. Anyway, so now these things were our examples. It doesn't say that these things were for our examples. These things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So what things? We've got to look at this. We're going to think, well, these things. You know, God doesn't usually... Well, I don't know if anywhere in Scripture that God ever called a man a thing. There might be some of you who might say, that thing that I'm married to. But God never said it. He never called a man a thing. He did call women things. But I don't think that that's what he's referring to. Well, it says, when a man finds the wife, he finds that they good.
Thanks.
Okay. So I am proposing to you tonight to consider this. When you cannot think there's any way out, just remember this. God is about to show us a thing or two.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the thing that he wants us to understand is that his glory, his power, be open and to see the thing that God is doing in your midst.
Yeah.
See the thing. Don't look at one another and say, well, that they would never do that. That would never occur through them. No. Always look for the thing that God wants to do. So anyway, let's go back now to... I'm laying a foundation tonight. My voice is feeling pretty good. I think I'm going to get through it. Let's go to Exodus 14. I'm just going to read you a few verses, and then we're going to open this up. Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. Very important verse here. Well, I'll tell you that in a minute. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before the Hathoroth. If anybody tries to make me repeat that, don't. Between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Siphon or Baal Siphon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Remember, this is God talking all this. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts. The Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. They said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from what? Serving us. And Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them, And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This is the second time we read this. King of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued them. All the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pehoroth before Baal Zephon. I'm going to stop there tonight. If I count to 9 verses, we'll call this a miracle night. But we're just going to start and see where we're going. I have to say this. Moses was not a stupid man. Moses knew all about the ways of humanity. He knew how government worked. He knew the political system. He knew how the world thought. Thanks. Educated. He was all of those things and more of what I have said tonight. But the greatest attribute that Moses had, he could hear from God.
Yeah.
We need leaders who can hear from God. We need people in the church who can hear from God. Sometimes we think, well, I didn't achieve this, or I had a dream that I was going to be a pilot and I never even took a lesson. Or whatever. You might have wanted a better brain. You might have had a dream of being a brain surgeon. But if you can hear from God, consider that you're now in your finest hour.
Mm.
If you can hear from God, you are now in your finest hour. Oh, I know. When you were younger, you could run through troops and leap over walls. Or is it the other way? But whatever. You could do a lot of things. You were busy about it. But now, you make the difference every time. So, Moses knew that this journey... He knew that if he took them the way that God was saying, there'd be no way of escape. He knew that militarily, this was suicide. And many times, God's people say, I can't give that word. I can't stand up and give a message in tongues or interpret or prophesy. What if I'm wrong? If I get up and if I'm wrong, it's going to be suicide. Yes.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about believing God. It will sometimes, not always, but sometimes, go against everything we know, everything we've been trained, everything we've been told, everything that we've experienced, and to think that we're still going to go that way, oh, I don't think I can do it. And as a result, many times, men and women in the church hesitate. They hold back. And as a result, there will be many casualties. There was going to be many casualties here. I don't know the number of casualties, but if I would look at it, I would suspect, well, we knew there were 600 horses died. We know that there was chariots. None of them made it back to land. And we know in every chariot there would be at least one warrior, but probably two. So that puts the number at 1,200 plus. There could be backup people. There could have been people, medical people, you know, all these kinds. We don't know the exact number. There were casualties.
Yeah.
And when we get ready to believe God, you do not want to be a casualty. Because if you fail to believe God, you are the casualty. I remember the night, it was 90, and I was in a youth camp. I think, matter of fact, it was all boys. It had to be. I don't remember chasing any girls. It had to be all boys. I was 15 years old. You know what this is. You know. You need two things at 15, a bicycle and a girl. And so I know that. And I was in the meeting, and I wasn't expecting to have a God encounter. Couldn't believe it. Because God, when God sets things up, He knows you, and He knows how to be. To get you at your prime, He knows when to come to you that you are in a position that you will genuinely have the ability to say yes. And you will have the faith to do it. But then we have to decide. If we look with the eyes of flesh, we will say we have what? No faith. Can't believe God. I can't believe that God would use me. I can't believe that God is still doing that today. Or we refuse to believe the report that man wants to bring us. We refuse that report. We refuse what we see with the natural eye and hear with the natural ear. Did you ever notice that? Well, I'll move on. Anyway, so there really is no other plan for us. As men and women of God, we have no other plan, no other option. We made our choice. I made mine at 15 years of age. We made our choice, and we say, Lord, I make you Lord of my life, and however you want to use me, and then we would even sing about it, I'll be what you want me to be, you know, and so on it goes. So Moses knew that this would be suicide. But he was hearing what God was saying. No sense in him seeking the counsel of somebody else unless they are hearing the same thing. And unless they have a part in making the decisions. Otherwise, God is not going to talk to them. They are held in reserve for another work in the body. So tonight, I'm sitting here, and I sense this in my spirit, that many of us are fighting battles we have never faced in the past. Brand new battles. We know as we get older, there will be certain things where, you know, at 40 this happens, and in your 50s, dreadful 50s, this is going to happen, and then your 60s, oh. And then when you get into 70, well, you probably only got hours left. You know, they've got it all written out. And how I live, it's not over till God says, come on home, son. You've done your part, come on home. That's it. So, when I read in 1 Corinthians, for those of you who don't read Old Testament, when I read in 1 Corinthians, I read about what God and how He brought the Israelites out, and that things there were for our example. So, this is my opening salvo in Guernsey on this trip. The Lord spoke to Moses. And in order for that to happen, you have to have a soft heart. Don't ever think for one moment that if I act this way, they're going to think I'm soft and they're going to take advantage of me. They can't. Because when you're soft, God has everything under control. Yeah. So it won't be you that they come against. Oh yes, your pride. You know, you can say a lot of things. Some of you may have great wit. And you can say lots of things. And maybe you did at one time. But where you are now, what God is doing now, you're going to hold back and you're going to say, I didn't hear the Father tell me to say that. Yeah. I didn't hear the Father tell me that this is what I must do. And you don't need to go into a 10-day prayer meeting to get the mind of God. Some things you're going to know instantly. Father will tell you instantly. And He'll say, no. Bullshit. No. And as you get older, how you know that is because you have a soft heart. And the reason that Pharaoh lost his army is because his heart was hard. resisted. Now this is not new. I appreciate him praying and saying, Lord, even though it's not something new. But at any rate, I'm thinking, Lord, just keep me going. Amen. But I want God to speak to you tonight. I want to speak to you. I don't think you're finished. You're one of only three churches I visit now when I'm in this part of the world. You're only one of three churches that I now visit. I have preached in hundreds of places in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
There's probably not a town on the South Coast I've not preached in. You tell me the town, I can tell you where I preached. I've preached up through, and you're talking about Manchester, places up the north and up towards Newcastle. There's many places that I've ministered. But I'm at the place right now, I'm going to say, Lord, I need some strength. I need some people that I know that I can count on, and they'll be with me. And when I'm going through my battles, I can pick up a phone. Well, whatever it takes, you know, an email, whatever. But I can phone, and I know that it's established. I've met some believers like that in the UK. Do you know that of all the countries that I visit and minister in, and I minister in lots, matter of fact, my heart doctor was talking to me this about 3 weeks ago. Where were you since I last seen you? Where are you planning on going? But at any rate, he gave me a lecture on remote areas, mountains and jungles. But anyway, let me get back to this. I need people that I know that are standing strong and we're hearing from God. I remember, I'm drifting a little bit here. I know I'm drifting. I'm not having a moment. We'll call this a spiritual drift. Okay? First time I had cancer, and it was prostate cancer or something, and many years ago. And I asked the doctor how long I had to live, and the list went on. And I was scheduled to be in Nigeria. Conference with, there would have been thousands in the conference. I was scheduled to be one of the ministers. And I remember this. I've never made it to Nigeria to this day. But I have no lot of Nigerians, precious Nigerians, but I've never been there. And you know what they did? Their prayer team got to praying for me. And you know the message they sent me back from Lagos, they said, you are not going to die from this. That was just a simple line. We pray, you're not dying. Do you know how comforting that is when you have a body of people that know how to get a hold of God and they give you that word? And that was what, 20 some years ago?
26
years ago. Did you have? Yes, I had surgery, the whole deal. But anyway, that's why I couldn't get to the conference. They scheduled it immediately. But let me tell you, when you have somebody that's walking before you and they say, we've contacted God, and God says, you're going to live, you do what you have to do. Just move forward. Moses, when he talked to the Lord, of all the things that they talked about, one thing he knew was he had no say in the matter. You have no say in the matter. Even the church. As much as you might like to run things, you have. You hear me? You have no say in the matter. It's God that runs you. Just like he runs us. We might not think it's that important to hear from God. But when you're in leadership and you've got a body of people to look after, let me tell you, there is nothing more critical than hearing from God.
Yes,
you might not be the best visitation pastor. You might not be able to sit down and handle teenagers. But can you hear from God? And if you can hear from God, you got it made in the shade, Louise. All right. But you have to have a soft heart.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Sure.
You hear a story and you're crying as if you were living it. People will share things with you and you're thinking, as if it's my mom, my dad. It's like, here I am. I was in Peru in November, I think I told you that last year, I'm sure I did. And I remember when I was talking with those pastors, hundreds of pastors, and I was talking to them, I'm going to tell you, you have to be soft in ministry. Ministry can make you hard. You can, you know, you hear it so much, and, you know, you hear the stories over and over and over, and, you know, you hear the cancer stories, and you hear the financial heartbreaks, and you hear the marriage breakups, and you hear the kids that have messed up, and the stories are similar, whether you live in Uganda, you know, or Tibet, or Canada, or Guernsey. The stories are all the same. I've had people say to me, like, I was talking on the phone from Bangladesh tonight, and I've preached in Bangladesh, millions and millions and millions and millions. And I've heard people say, oh, life is so cheap. No, it's not. They will do everything to struggle to stay alive. We hear about what's going on now in Gaza and these other places. If you were that mom and that dad, you would do whatever it takes to survive.
Yes.
And we should be that concerned, that desperate about our position in the body of Christ and where God has placed us and where He has empowered us and where He has given us the ability and the giftings in. We should be that serious. But I'm going to do everything in my power, and I'm going to be soft to you, Lord, and I'm not going to be hard. I'm going to listen. Have your way. Because I like what Jesus said in Mark 4:9. I know it says it in Revelation, but Mark 4:9. He has an ear. Let him hear. We cannot say, well, I didn't hear that. You know, sometimes you'll tell somebody something and they'll say, I didn't hear that. He has an ear. Let him hear. So, we know that God spoke to Moses, and that had to occur before anything could be done for Israel's good. Mm-hmm. And we know that that has to occur for our body to prosper. Mm-hmm. For those in our families that God wants to yet bring into the kingdom, we need to hear from God. Mm-hmm. Because you could go crazy, forgive me for being so crude with that word, I probably should be a bit more sophisticated. But I've said it, so it's out. You know, with worry. What am I going to do? It looks like they're never going to do anything right. They're never going to get it right. Did you raise them right? Yes. Now come to rest. They're in God's hands. His word says, you can expect them back in. And I'll say that to you tonight. Whether you see it while you're alive or not, but if you've raised them and they're in the kingdom, those kids tonight, for a number of years that they've been away from God, there's not been a day that they haven't had a God reminder. Mm-hmm. And every time they see you, they know what they should be doing. Regardless of how they pretend, they don't know. Regardless of how they don't want to hear about it, you can talk about anything, but don't talk to me about God. Well, you know for sure God's talking to you. Specific instructions for every specific action. You've prophesied. Well done. You've sang before. Wonderful. You've preached a message on. Wonderful. I've preached in that church before. Wonderful. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen like that again.
That's right.
Not when you hear from God.
Yes.
Because when you hear from God, you realize that you are not driving.
Yes.
Do you realize how much faith I have to come from the hotel to church tonight with Don driving? The man never went on the right side of the road once.
There'll be payback time, Don.
He did a wonderful job. Yeah. what makes church so exciting. If you go to church and you're bored and you're forced, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is your heart's too hard. And I love you dearly. Okay? I love you dearly. I'm not being mean here. But if church is boring, it's because your heart's too hard. It's time for a new washing. It's time for a new softening process to take place. Because every time we come together, God has a purpose, and He has a plan, and you are a part of both. Boy, that makes church exciting. Is it like that in your church? No way. No way. They just sit there. See, I give people a choice just like God does. I was thinking of a young man. I want to tell you this story. I was in Uganda. I was in excess in the capital, Kampala, for this particular meeting 3 years max. And there was a young man in the meeting, and I began to prophesy to him. And found out afterwards, I didn't know it, because it was the first time I was ever there. And I found out that the young man I was prophesying to was the pastor's son. And you want your prophecies right. It was the pastor's kid, so get it off, boy, you're in trouble. And I began to prophesy to him, a church in the slums. This is a church in the slums. Kampala's got some bad slums. So does many cities in the world. But at any rate, you cannot look out there. You have to be able to look at who is before you. Who does God have here? And I began to prophesy to him. And I told him he was going to be a very wealthy man. He was only 16 at the time, 17 years old. And I prophesied some other things. I talked about his jet and etc., etc., etc. And who doesn't want to talk like that when you're 17 years old? You know, my buddies are trying to believe for a bicycle. Here he's talking a jet. I'm like, wow. And I didn't know how God was going to do this. And afterwards, I found out, and his dad, who is the pastor, told me, he said, it's interesting because he said about 3 or 4 months ago, we had a pastor, an evangelist, or whatever it was, a prophet, come in from Australia. He stood up, my son, understand, and prophesied the same prophets. Never before. Not to anybody else. Just to him. You know I'm not going to make it wherever I end it, okay? So let's just go. And anyway, I stay in touch with them. I still do. And I preach there. Matter of fact, I think maybe last year, I think I was there. Whenever I was last in Uganda. But anyway, he told me he passed his exams, and I said, well, what are you going to do? And he says, actually, he says, I'm going to go and become a brain surgeon. Bottom line, he didn't use that. He used some other sophisticated name. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, yes, that's what he's going to do. And I said, well, where are you going to go? Are you going to England to study? The U.S.? Where's your plan? And he said, no, I'm going to study here at the university in Kampala. Because Uganda needs brain surgeons. Now this is idealistic. I said, you let me know as soon as your acceptance letter comes. And I was talking to him just a month or so later, a couple of months. And I said, how did it go? And he said, they turned me down. I said, what? He said, they turned me down. Now remember what I said. God said, yes. He's going to go, and he's going to become a brain surgeon. And I said, tell me about your application. What was going on? What did you say? And he told me what he said. And I said, well, something doesn't sound right here, Jesse. I said, contact the university again. I said, be bold. Don't hold back. Go right into the office. Talk to them and find out exactly what they saw on your application, because something is not right. Well, you know the outcome of the story. Jesse went, and sure enough, they misinterpreted or something was not, and just like that, he was, yes, accepted. And yes, he is studying in university to do this. But you see, man will try to tell you that you won't amount to much, you never did and never will. Man may try to tell you that everybody else is right when they move in the spirit and you're not. Man will try to tell you, even if it's your man, will try to tell you that God would never do that in you or through you. But as long as you are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as long as your heart is soft, God can do anything with you. But you get hard. No. I've even had people tell me, I know what I'm to do. Are you going to do it? No. Yes. You're going to say no. Yes. Often. I've even had them tell me, I know what I'm to do, but I'm going to live in the world and try to just get into the heaven, I think was the word he used, just by the very skin of my teeth. And I said, you think you're able to negotiate that path? You think you know where that line is? I talked to him very plain. See, the beautiful part about my age, they carry my suitcase, they open doors, they let me sit anywhere in the airport I want to sit. It's wonderful. Some of them are shocked. Yeah. Keep your heart soft. You keep your heart soft and God can use you if you're in Marks and Spencer's or if you're walking along the seafront or whatever it is. Always be prepared for God to do it. And Moses, one morning he woke up. And that was the morning that God was to change not only the destiny of a man, but the destiny of a nation.
Yeah.
A people that he prophesied would be his people. A people who had been in bondage for 400 years. 430, whatever it is. How much? 430. 430? That's pretty good. The chronicler says it's 430. You can imagine 430 years and never seen God move. Always reading about it. My grandfather's grandfather's grandfather told us about it. There's a God. Where? What does he look like? You've never seen him? Well, the Egyptians are smart. They've got him. We can see him anytime. He's got a tail. He's got a head. I mean, this God we've never seen. The God of the unseen can handle unseen issues that are laying ahead of you. Simple message. This is not a, I don't need to call Jesse, who's graduated from his first year in medical school. I don't need to call him up tonight to verify what I'm saying to you. This is not hard to understand. Soft heart. It's a secret. Soft heart. Hard heart. Boy, I hear so many voices. Well, they do. Oh, but the dog, they're just bouncing off of me. I said, So how do you know which one's correct? And you know the answer. It's the one I like the best. It's the easiest route. It's the one I understand. It's the one I'm comfortable with. It's the one that will please most people. No. There was only two that walked across the Red Sea. And I'm going to do my very best to get them across the Red Sea tomorrow. But there was only two that saw the promised land.
Yes.
Million and a half. I've heard estimates up to 3 million. Only two people made it into the promised land. And I can tell you this about the two people. The one quality I know for sure, they had a soft heart. Because God can only use people with a soft heart. That's the danger of being critical, cynical, knowing it all. That's the danger. Proud. One of the hardest things that you face as a minister, when you talk to the people of God, you don't dare think about it, because you know that there's going to be people in that audience, that congregation, who are going to hang on to every word you say. They're going to be reading stuff into it. They're going to be listening. They're going to know, and they want to do what you tell them. And that is an awesome responsibility, to think that I'm going to impact somebody's life decisions. And I'm going to tell you, one of the great blessings of my life, I've been able to impact thousands of people's life's decisions and destinies. And I am going to stand before Him, and I am looking to hear Him say, well done. Never got my private jet? Why, I never even got my little Cessna. I never even got to take one flying lesson. However, many times I pray for my pilots that are flying me around. But, I promised my wife I wouldn't preach more than 20, 30 minutes. I'm going to go to verse 3. I'm actually going to try to make verse 4. And I will try to get you out of here by 15 minutes plus. All right, let's look at verse 3. Exodus 14:3. I almost said Hebrews, but anyway. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. The world will always think that godly people with soft hearts are idiots, wimps, brainwashed. The most, you don't want to talk to them. That's their decision. That's how they think. They know so well, don't they? Mm-hmm. Well, the conservatives aren't in power in London anymore. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are out in Washington. Modi in India, well, we'll see. But I'm going to tell you, man cannot hold it together. Only God can hold it together.
Yes, amen.
Not a pharaoh, not a king. So, he says they're going to get entangled. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. I make no apologies, and if you're too tired to get up in the morning, stay home. But I'm here to take it. 2 Peter, and you know I love you, so don't get bent out of joint. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Look at this. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, and the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's not a pretty picture. We all know people. Maybe we ourselves are struggling at times and have in the past. But when I read that, and they're going to say, it's good, especially look at verse 20. The latter is worse with them than the beginning. It doesn't mean that it's impossible, but it was easier to get out of it at the beginning.
Yes.
And to live for God and walk in His ways, and then fall back later on because your heart hardened. let's name it where it is, and you fall back into it, and it's hard to get out of that. Could take you years. See, I deal with people, and I hear them tell me this often. They'll say, Brother Don, I've tried to serve God again so many times, and I do good for a while, and it's not so easy for me at home. And they'll go through all their struggles. Yes, it's very hard. And I feel sad, and I'm sorry, because you wasted all those years. It could have been, maybe you could have reached a nation. Moses gave it all up to lead the people of God. The most powerful nation in the world, he gave it all up. Why? Because it was all empty and hollow. Two-faced, political, no truth there. You hear from God tonight, you are in a wonderful place.
Yes,
I felt God speaking to you. When I was ministering, I felt God really touching you. I'm glad that we came to grace. Thank you. God switched my time to come. Joy and I were first married, and Matthew, you've met Matthew, some of you, my oldest son, living son. He was with me here on a trip. But when Matthew was like this age, 2 or 3 years old, this pastor would come to visit us. And he owned a garage, and always had a nice car. And he came this one time to visit us. And I said, you've got air conditioning. He said, yes. He said, Father insisted. I said, really? I serve the same God, and I don't have air con. The Father insisted. So I'm going to say, Father insisted that I come here in July rather than January. What have you got to say?
Soften my heart, O Lord.
Oh, do it.
Thank you.
I'll just sing it to you once, and then I want to talk to you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up?
Everybody want to stand? Are they set? How do you do it here?
It's up to them, really.
It's up to you.
Soften my heart.